bombshell, the Supreme Court poised to strike down Roe versus Wade. That according to an unprecedented leak of the justices' draft opinion overnight. A decision would alter the nationwide battle over abortion.
Tensions flared outside the nation's highest court after an unprecedented leak. But the bombshell report comes as five states have enacted strict abortion restrictions and sweeping bans, many of them ready to immediately cut off access to care.
Never before in modern history has an internal draft been leaked to the public while the justices were still deciding a case.
We need to understand this is not about a leak. This is not about, oh my goodness, are we going to lose our, quote, reproductive rights? This is about humans that are being slaughtered.
Even though you may feel like you might not want to get out of bed or might not be able to pull through a hard or rough, tough situation, just know that there is somebody watching out for you. That is God, and it might be other people that you don't know that are praying for you. Just never give up. Like, it might be like all cliche, but just don't give up.
Immediately after fertilization, there is a unique human individual that's formed. The genetic variation is so much that there will never be another human exactly the same as that person again.
The pro-life movement has always seen two victims in an abortion, that both the mom and her unborn child are harmed by abortion. And so I think we cannot forget those two lives and do all that we can to protect unborn children and serve moms in difficult needs.
50 years ago, Roe v. Wade forced legal abortion on demand across the United States, paving the way for a so-called constitutional right to abortion. Since then, well over 63 million babies have been killed and countless lives forever changed. But thanks to hardworking pro-lifers and landmark legislation like the Dobbs case before the U.S. Supreme Court and the Texas Heartbeat Act, innocent lives will be protected and saved. Pro-abortionists claim that ending Roe would yield catastrophic results for women across America, but nothing could be further from the truth. In the next half hour, you'll hear how choosing life is the only right, moral, and just decision, and that women and their babies will flourish. That's here on The Sky Isn't Falling, Realities of a Post-Roe America, a Life Issues radio special with your host, Brad Mattis.
As of this recording, the U.S. Supreme Court has yet to announce their final decision on the Dobbs case, either upholding or overturning Roe v. Wade. Legacy media would have you believe that reversing Roe would cause untold economic damage and that people would be terrified personal rights would be further attacked with its demise. The truth is, reversing Roe allows elected representatives of local governments to pass laws that save babies and protect their mothers in every state. It brings the power to protect life back to the people. It places the care of women and their babies in the hands of organizations and individuals who are passionately fighting to protect innocent human life from fertilization to natural death. Now, more than ever, is the time to fight for life. Genevieve Plaster is the current Deputy Director of Policy and Administration for the Charlotte Losier Institute, and has testified before Congress on the life-saving protections of the Hyde Amendment. She's a passionate pro-lifer who lives out her convictions as a mother. Genevieve, a recent poll shows that 77% of Americans believe that if Roe was overturned, all abortion will end across America. Is that true?
That is not the case. That is not true. And honestly, I wouldn't blame a lot of Americans for thinking that. If you tune into TV at night, if you see all these images of protests and handmaidens, that's what you would think. That seems to be the message, but that is not the case. If Roe is reversed, that would actually return this question of abortion, of how abortion is legislated and how life is protected back to the state. So again, American citizens would be able to discuss, debate, come to a consensus what Roe did, unfortunately, when it was decided in 1973, it really just imposed this one-size-fits-all legal system, and states were not allowed to pass pro-life protections before, at that time, what was thought to be viability, and instead has allowed our country to have elective abortion up to birth, and no country in Europe has elective abortion up through 9 months, up through birth. We're very extreme in that regard.
Dr. Firth received her PhD in neuroscience from Boston University, studying developmental models of schizophrenia. Since receiving her PhD, Dr. Firth transitioned to studying the development of unborn babies. She's a mother of four and a teacher who is passionate about educating people on the developmental process of babies in the womb. Dr. Firth, the Dobbs late-term abortion case in Mississippi before the Supreme Court generated considerable discussion on a baby feeling the excruciating pain that results from an abortion. When can a baby feel pain?
This is a very good question. I think the number one thing to remember is that we assume that animals feel pain and patients feel pain until proven otherwise. The baby has all of the key components that it needs to feel pain by 15 weeks gestation. We know that there are pain receptors in the skin. We know that those pain receptors are connecting to the nerves that communicate pain. And we know that those nerves are connecting through a place called the thalamus, which gates all sensory information, and reaching the brand new start of the cortex called the subplate. And so other things we know is that those connections that are being made at that time, they last into adulthood. So we have every reason to believe that the unborn feels pain at 15 weeks gestation.
Well, much has been said about the Texas Heartbeat Act. When does a baby's heart actually begin to beat in the womb?
Well, we know that the first fetal heartbeats to be detected are 22 days after conception. So that's often called 5 weeks and a day after conception, or after gestation, because the baby is conceived actually 2 weeks into gestation. And so what's amazing about the heartbeat too is that once the heart starts moving blood throughout the developing embryo, that heartbeat is not going to stop until that person's death. The baby's heart actually beats 54 million times before the baby ever comes out of the womb, if they come to full term.
Since Roe v. Wade was declared law nearly 50 years ago, over 63 million babies have been killed and countless lives destroyed. More than ever, women and their babies need protection and care. Now is the time to take a stand for life. We must help women courageously choose life over death and educate women and men considering abortion that choosing life is choosing to thrive and flourish. We need your help to reach them. Go to AmericaAfterRoe.com, where you can support our life-saving work and discover powerful resources from Life Issues Institute to help you save the babies. Act now, get involved, and send your gift to help change the course of history. Go to AmericaAfterRoe.com right now.
Kenya is a mother of two who discovered she was pregnant during a seemingly impossible circumstance. Overwhelmed and desperate for help, Kenya recalls her experience. Kenya, what thoughts went through your mind when you found out you were expecting?
Immediately, I wanted to have a termination. I was looking for that. I had confirmed my pregnancy, how long, far along I was, and just kept calling around for like free places to have, an abortion.
And at that point, you were before the heartbeat stage, right?
It was right before it, and I had no idea about a heartbeat law or anything. I just wasn't aware of it. I was looking at the news, just didn't know. And so when I found out, I was about 4 weeks. And then once they told me that, they were like warning me about like once I hit 6 weeks, then that's you can't do anything after that.
What was your situation that made you want to have an abortion?
The situation was financial reasons. I already had my 8-year-old and 1-year-old, so just becoming newly single, I was like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to pay rent, feed my children, myself, and then a new baby? I went into like panic survival mode kind of, and just like, I wouldn't want to bring another person into a struggle. So that was my mindset at the time.
When you were turned away at the abortion center, how did you feel?
Discouraged. I felt like, in a way, at first felt like I was like being forced to do something I didn't want to. I was very determined, but discouraged at the same time, if that makes sense. But I kept looking for different alternatives and options.
How did the Houston Pregnancy Help Center assist you?
They assisted me with counseling, with, like I said, the diapers and wipes, ultrasounds, the doctor's appointments that I had gotten from them. That's how they helped out, basically. They were a big help. They even did like research for me for daycare center that was free at the time for my youngest. So they were like pulling all the stops and helping me out.
Genevieve, since the leak court opinion, there have been a lot of pro-abortion politicians and activists who are claiming that women will die if Roe is overturned. What will really happen?
Well, if Roe is overturned, and maybe even a different way of phrasing that, if Roe is overturned and life is protected, if more human beings developing in the womb are protected, first of all, that is just and merciful. So we can't forget that with this question of returning abortion to the states, that we are protecting children and we are looking out for mothers too. We've had 50 years of experience with legal abortion. And over that time, we've seen so many harms to women. You know, here at the Lozier Institute, we had published a peer-reviewed study looking at all of the abortions that were paid for by state Medicaid funds over a decade and a half, and found that for every 100 abortions, 35 of those resulted in ER visits due to complications. So the truth of the matter is that separation of a woman from her unborn child, even if we know medically speaking that that child may not survive, there's still a good ethical way to treat that woman and not have a direct attack upon the body of an unborn child. It really is, a just treatment for those complications.
Jim Garlow is a longtime pastor, father of 4 adopted children, and a passionate pro-life advocate. He has spent over 3 decades fighting for the protection of unborn babies and the long-term care of their mothers. His enthusiasm is contagious, and he minces no words when speaking to fellow pastors and Christians. Jim, as a pastor, speak to the hearts of those who may be considering abortion right now.
If I can take that a step further and not only speak as a pastor, if I can speak as a dad who adopted 4 children. So what I would say to any mother or young woman who's pregnant, you have no idea the potential of life you're carrying within you. Out there are 4 birth mothers that made incredible decisions, and they are blessed, and they blessed this earth by doing what they did. That's what I would say to these young women. And in those cases where the birth mothers desire to do adoption, the fulfillment and joy they bring to couples who are unable to procreate. It's said there are up to 2 million couples in America trying to adopt right now. Just think of that. Just think of the slaughter that's happening every day. And here are moms and dads willing to lay down their lives and sacrifice to give that baby a life, give him hope, give him a dream, give him a destiny. I would pray every birth mother would come to the awareness of that reality.
Kenya, are you glad you didn't have the abortion?
I am. I'm happy about it. My oldest son is happy. I'm a boy mom, so it's another boy. I actually have a food truck that just recently opened, and I'm being trained to be a manager at another job that I have. So financially, I'm like a little bit more stable. I just feel better about the situation.
You know, we just can't imagine how hard it was for you.
Yes, it was mentally draining. Energy wasn't there. Just even appetites for like food just to eat wasn't there. Like, I just didn't want to do anything. I felt like giving up at points.
Kenya, what message do you have for other women in a similar circumstance to yours?
Even though you may feel like you might not want to get out of bed or might not be able to pull through a hard or rough, tough situation, just know that there is somebody watching out for you. It is God, and it might be other people that you don't know that are praying for you all the time. You just might not know that they are, but you know, they're, that works, you know, it helps also. Just never give up. Like, it might be like all cliche, but just don't give up.
What would you say to somebody who found out they were pregnant during a really tough and difficult time for them?
To not delete your blessings.
Since Roe v. Wade was declared law nearly 50 years ago, over 63 million babies have been killed and countless lives destroyed. More than ever, women and their babies need protection and care. Now is the time to take a stand for life. We must help women courageously choose life over death and educate women and men considering abortion that choosing life is choosing to thrive and flourish. We need your help to reach them. Go to AmericaAfterRoe.com, where you can support our life-saving work and discover powerful resources from Life Issues Institute to help you save the babies. Act now, get involved, and send your gift to help change the course of history. Go to AmericaAfterRoe.com right now.
Dr. Firth, you wrote a paper called 15 Facts at 15 Weeks to tie into the Dobbs Supreme Court case. Give us a brief summary of the content of that document.
It's a scientific document. There's lots of references to the original research, but it's written in a very accessible format because there are just 15 subheadings about the things that the fetus can do at 15 weeks gestation. And then there's the evidence that sort of proves each point. Immediately after fertilization, there is a unique human individual that's formed. And the genetic variation is so much that there will never be another human exactly the same as that person again. Even in the case of identical twins, there are differences in the genetics as the cells are dividing, that they are genetically distinct. And so those cells are going to develop into a fully formed human unless something stops that zygote. And what's cool is that that genetic blueprint is there from the very beginning, and it has all of our traits, but it also tells the cells important things like, hey, put the brain in the top and put the stomach in the middle and the feet at the bottom. And so each cell learns its job and becomes a certain type of tissue. And what's cool is that by 15 weeks, almost all of the major organs are in place. Some things still need to mature, like the lungs still need a lot of maturing, but they are there. And all of the smaller subcomponents are forming and are just getting in place and maturing. So some cool facts, the heart is pumping 26 quarts of blood per day. That's like going and getting 6.5 gallons of milk from the store. And for comparison, an adult's heart pumps about 6,000 quarts of blood each day. And that's about the size of a small hot tub. When you think of each cell getting into the correct place and each body system forming and interacting in the right way, and even the way different things fold to create a three-dimensional human, like a glorious origami, I feel like it points so blaringly to a gifted creator who has endowed this young human with all of the things it needs to grow and become an adult.
Jim, what concerns you the most in this cultural moment?
When the Democrats were all mad that Roe v. Wade might be overturned when the leak occurred, and the Republicans were all mad about the fact that a leak occurred, the thing that concerned me the most that was not said by either side was we're talking about humans, lives, babies. I don't even use the word abortion anymore because everybody is inoculated to it. I choose to use the word dismembering another human being with no anesthesia, literally cutting them up. We need to understand this is not about a leak. This is not about, oh my goodness, are we going to lose our quote reproductive rights? This is about humans that are being slaughtered. I wish everybody who claims reproductive rights, which is the most weird combination of language to describe what they really are, I wish every one of them would watch from beginning to end an abortion, particularly a later term abortion when they can see the baby parts even better, because many of the abortions are in fact that. I want them to watch that which they support. Then I would also like them to consider what has been lost every time one human life is killed.
What's your message to these churches who will be ready if Roe was overturned?
Well, a part of the message is a tragic part that there are other states that are going to still be killing babies, murdering babies. And we have companies, I'm told that even Bank of America is offering to fly women, pay all their expenses to fly them so they can murder their children. That is just jolting that companies who rely on people to buy their product and use their services would kill the people who would someday be their customers. This is irrational. But to those who have been faithful, be prepared to gear up to the next level. I hope you're in a posture where you have to gear up many notches, that many babies' lives will be saved. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I would say continue in your steadfastness. And to those churches that have not been proactive in trying to save a life of baby, I have one word for you: repent.
Genevieve, when it comes to our extreme abortion laws, I understand we're in the sad company of not so great countries.
The U.S. is unfortunately in the company of North Korea and China. And, you know, from looking at their treatments of human beings and all the issues, that's really terrible company to be in. And again, the United States is, these are not our values. It's not our values to leave open, you know, the vulnerability of unborn children as they're developing in the womb. It's, you know, these innocent human lives. Just what Roe did again is impose that legal system where Americans were not able to discuss, debate, come to a consensus, protect life.
The intentional deaths of millions of unborn babies since Roe v. Wade is pure evil. Now's the time to enact common sense, life-affirming laws in our nation. We're exposing the lie that abortion protects women. Those in the abortion industry continue to use misinformation and propaganda to support their cause. The biased legacy media continues to spread false claims that abortion is health care and necessary for so-called reproductive rights. We must fight these lies. Roe is based on science that's a half century old. Now is the time for all who believe in the sanctity of life to stand for the rights of the unborn. Now is the time for the church and pro-life organizations to step up and stand in the gap to provide comprehensive care for mothers and their babies. The pro-life movement is stronger now than ever. Our pro-life message is more compelling than ever. You and I can help others choose life. Together, we can do this.
When you visit AmericaAfterRoe.com, you'll find resources showing how you can support unborn babies and their mothers. You'll also find ways you can get involved in caring for these precious lives beyond birth. Visit AmericaAfterRoe.com for these great resources. Thanks again for listening to The Sky Isn't Falling, Realities of a Post-Roe America from Life Issues Institute, where we help you stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.